I need a laugh, there's a helping people. But Tomboy's talking to these funny people. He's asking what they're buying and they're telling the stories. Can somebody yell out the name of the show, please? It's my mate,
Water Toaster.
Oh, oh. It's my mate,
Water Toaster.
Yeah, yeah. It's my mate,
Water Toaster.
Oh, oh. Toast them all, my love. Thank God, toast them.
Hello, welcome along. It is another side serving of Toasted. This is the My Mate Bought a Toaster. I'm going to say sister podcast. Could be, I don't know, any kind of sibling available, really. With self Tom Price and Sunday Times top 10 bestselling author and, of course, proud owner of the Wild Swimming Wangers podcast, co-owner, co-host, Beth Morrie. Hello.
Greetings.
Nice. Lovely. Listen, Hayley Morris, great episode. We're gonna get on to Hayley Morris in a second, because that was this week's episode. We've got a lot to discuss.
Loads.
But first of all, we've had an email, and I want to say thank you very much to Ian, who has dropped an email to us off the back of last week's episode, where we talked about cardboard cutouts. And this is it's a sad but beautiful email, and I wanted to read it out. So, Ian, thank you for this. Don't forget, any thoughts, suggestions, comments, any products that we maybe slag off that you like, or vice versa. We're all ears, tom@toasterpod.com. Ian says, hi, Tom, loving the pod. Had to email to let you know that I have a cardboard cutout of Joe Pasquale.
He's lovely.
Amazing. Of course, don't forget Joe Pasquale's son, Joe Tracini, a previous episode of this podcast. My late wife, continues Ian, was a massive fan and loved him before I came along. It was always very much Charles, Diana and Camilla. There were three of us.
What a comparison that is.
Is that like us with our dogs, do you think?
That's what we're like.
Wow, I love it.
The Charles, Camilla, Diana love triangle.
Yeah. Love me, love my Pasquale obsession. I think that's wonderful. And I was absolutely fine with that. We met him many times. We both went on stage with him at various shows, plucked from the audience. She even had his signature tattooed on, it says here, on her food. How does that work? Do you think it's, what's happened there?
Foot!
That was a good logic puzzle there. Yeah. I would have been here for hours trying to work that out. She even had his signature tattooed on her foot. Sadly, and this is really sad, Ian, I'm so sorry for your loss. Sadly, my amazing wife died at 38 in 2020 and decided that she wanted Joe Pasquale. I want a song that will get on your nerves to be her last song at a funeral. So sad. As the man himself would be too busy to attend, I decided to get a life-size cardboard cutout, and he has been in our front room ever since. Ian, it's bittersweet email. It's a really sad email.
Yeah, it's very sad indeed.
Very sad. But thank you for sending it in. And I'm just thrilled that the cardboard cutouts is a thing that people do, because I was shocked that they don't, like £9, and you can get a cardboard cutout.
It was a very reasonable price.
Yes, and also
very reasonable price.
Good, thank you. I don't think, and I think Ian will agree with this, I don't think even a cardboard cutout, probably Ian, one of the saddest moments of your life at your partner's funeral, but a cardboard cutout, always funny.
Always good.
Always good. But like it can never go wrong to do it as a practical joke. That is £9, and that's a guaranteed laugh, I would say. That's my thesis anyway. Ian, thank you for your email, and tom@toasterpod.com, really, really keen to hear from you. If anything that we discuss makes you feel like writing us an email. So Hayley Morris, Beth. My cousin David's a massive fan of Hayley Morris.
Yes, I wonder why he likes the very attractive comedian Hayley Morris.
I think you're being reductive of Hayley Morris's comedy skills there. Thank you very
much. No, I'm being reductive of your cousin.
That's fair. Which is very much fair. But it was odd to get a message from my 55-year-old cousin who, you know, is a gardener who lives in Devon, saying, bloody love Hayley Morris. But she is very, very funny. And we had tremendous fun going through her purchase history. A lot of costumes, as you'd imagine.
So much of what she bought resonated, even though I don't do sketches with props. Very similar purchase history, actually.
Really?
I think.
Right.
And I should say right now that before we recorded this podcast, I had two coffees. It affects me very like it affects Hayley Morris.
Yes. She and her brother, don't forget.
Yeah, genetic.
It's a genetic thing if coffee hits you. Well, that is why she is into matcha, which brings me very neatly onto the topic of matcha. One of the things she bought, and as ever, we'll put a link in the episode description. But one of the things she bought was ceremonial grade matcha. Have you ever done a matcha thing?
I'm really against the idea of matcha because somewhere along the line, I decided it was disgusting. I've never tasted it, but I'm very fond of my tea and coffee, and I kind of don't need or want to add anything to that mix.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know it's a big thing, and it's probably quite healthy, isn't it?
Well, here's the thing. I just had a very quick look on your friend of mine, the BBC website. What is matcha and is it good for you? Quite a good place to go. If you're ever in the teeth of a fad and you want to know, because it's quite depressing. You think, you know, someone said to me once, blueberries are incredible for ADHD. It's just, so I went online.
And,
it's just,
and is it true? Well,
not in my experience. Not that I want to upset anyone who maybe
well,
big blueberry farmers.
A lot of this is anecdotal or just based on one person.
And so you do always, more often than not, when you dig into your fad, apart from, I would say, gut health, which is the only one where you look at gut health, go online and everyone's like, oh, no, no, that's the real deal. All the biome stuff is the real deal.
But we can come to the kombucha later.
We'll come to kombucha later on. Matcha. So I thought, do you know what? I'm worried. I'm going to go online and go matcha and see a load of people going, well, there's absolutely no scientific evidence that it's of any use. However, I went to the BBC and it's got quite a good write-up, actually. So matcha, it's a bright green powder and it's made from tea leaves that are grown in the shade. And it, because they're grown in the shade, it means they develop extra chloroplasts. That's right. Dropping
it
the C-bomb.
It does sound bollocky.
No, that. Listen, it's fine. It's on the bbc.co.uk. So it can collect more light, even though it's grown in the shade. Mm. So it gets greener. So the additional chlorophyll gives matcha its signature bright green colouring and very earthy taste, which I know you're not a fan of.
No, I kind of feel that it's going to taste of like nettle soup. That's how I imagine matcha would taste.
Yes, yes.
I mean, I haven't had nettle soup either, but gross.
I think I have, and I think it was delicious.
No.
No, I think you're a nettle. Has anyone had nettle soup? Don't taste of it. Anyway, so it's matcha tea. It is just another type of green tea, but it contains a lot more caffeine than other types of green tea. So if you have a normal serving of matcha, which is about 2 grams, you'll get in matcha you'll get about between like 40 and 80 milligrams of caffeine, which is a little bit less than coffee, so but it's still intensely caffeiney.
Yeah, but that's what I'm interested in. But as you were saying in the episode, it's slow release.
Yes.
And actually, even though coffee makes me completely mad, much
yes,
like it does Hayley.
There are three coffees powering this podcast today, so I apologize.
I like that. That's what I want. I want to change. I want the altered state that coffee brings.
Is that why you had those two coffees? And I just came out of my study to come and say, should we do this podcast? And I found you in the middle of cleaning your second toilet of the day.
Yes. My eyes feel like they're quite wide.
You haven't blinked.
You're tiny. But the reason I'm having two coffees is because I read that coffee is really good for you. And I was only having one, and I thought, well, maybe I'll increase it. Maybe I will.
Yeah. Do you think that research was funded by Nescafe? George Clooney himself. But to go back to matcha, here's the thing. So caffeine, right, obviously. But it's jam-packed with antioxidants. Now, antioxidants, very good for things like your friend and mine, blood pressure, which is something I'm having to
look at. Yes, maybe you should have some matcha.
Maybe I should have some matcha. It's got L-theanine. It's got the L-theanine amino acid, which has been linked with improved concentration and alertness. But this is another reason why. And apologies if you can hear noises off. Should we explain?
I'm really distracted.
Should we explain what the noises off are?
Second dog, the other one, is busy scratching her bed really loudly to flatten the grass in the jungle before she lies down on it.
She was really making a lot of noise.
Yeah.
And now you know, dear listener, what we often hear in the middle of the night.
Yes.
Peggy goes for a little walk around her bed. We're recording this in a tiny room in our house and the dogs have been for a very wet walk and they absolutely honk.
Smells so bad in here.
Anyway, so it's got L-theanine, which helps you to focus. Now, Hayley, ADHD, I was about to say ADHD conviction. That is not right. ADHD diagnosis. So she finds that very, very helpful because it's slow release and it does help you to concentrate. And it's got a bit of vitamin C. Look, matcha, I would say, has passed the is this a fad test. For me, that feels quite positive.
Possibly, but I'm still not going there.
Right, okay, fine. Well, I might, and I'll let you know. If you are a Matcha convert, if you're a Matcha fan, tom@toasterpod.com. All right, elsewhere, Hayley talked about her book. She wrote a book called Me Versus Brain, which is kind of an overthinker's guide, which is very, very good indeed. Always nice when people are buying their own books on Amazon. Beth,
but to send to someone else, I like this as a sort of marketing strategy that, you know, you want to seed your book in various places. That's a thing for authors.
Yes.
That you have, you know, that's why people do like book events. You know, you might do a book event at a little bookshop where sort of six people turn up and that feels a bit like, oh, it's not very many people. Mm. Apparently that's really good because it seeds your book in a certain area and then they tell their friends and stuff. Mm. And what she's doing is a much more direct version of that. Just send it to people.
Now, let me ask you a question as a writer. If one of your fans messaged you and went, I loved Saving Missy, right?
Mm.
I would love to get a copy of your latest one. What's your latest one called again? Remind.
Isabella's Not Dead.
And they desperately wanted Isabella's Not Dead, but they would look. Mm. As happened to Hayley, any chance you could send me one? What would you send one to a random on DMs?
Well, sort of in an intellectual way, as a thought experiment, no.
Okay.
Because, like, we don't get, like, free copies, and also we need to sell books to make a living,
mm.
and everything about it is wrong. But that so rarely happens that if it did happen,
yeah.
practically, I guess I might do... I guess I can see where she was coming from.
There you are then, DM Beth Murray.
No.
Instagram,
don't.
Just send her your address.
Buy it.
Go buy it. You have to be a brutal capitalist when you're being an author, don't you?
Well, you do get some people who sort of say, oh, when am I going to get a copy of your book? And you think, well, when you go and buy it.
You're talking specifically about my aunt, aren't you? My lovely Auntie Jane, who has, I would say, enough money to buy a book, and yet... gleefully looks at you and says, where's my freebie? And every time I watch you just go, okay, good. The other thing I want to talk about before we get to the ads, which I thoroughly enjoyed, was the fake tan injury.
Again, really resonated for me. I mean, what I do is just not bother with my back.
You've got a famously white back.
Yes. I mean, like, I can't see it. So it's a bit like when a child hides and because they can't see you, they assume they're hidden.
I see.
I just think, oh, who cares about the back?
Right.
But I mean, it's hard to fake tan.
Yeah.
And I do it very sloppily. And in fact, I
Confirmed.
Went to a party recently where I realised I'd fake tan my face, but there was a sort of section of my neck that I just missed. And
oh,
there was just
God.
Like a big white stripe down my neck.
Oh, my God.
So I understand the difficulties of fake tanning.
But also, getting up to that bit around the top of the back. You know, for me, I'd say it's more like when I'm trying to shave my back.
Lovely. Well, also, you have to, and this is a thing you would buy on Amazon, you have to wear these sort of mitts to fake tan.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, you basically get really, really dark brown sort of bear paws.
Yeah.
And it just won't rub off.
Oh, because it's on, because you've used your hands to wipe it on you.
Yes.
You've never, and I'm very grateful to you for this, you've never come to me and said, can you do my fake tan stuff?
I mean, I think it's just because I have a sloppy attitude to fake tanning.
Yeah.
And I just think, well, it'll be fine.
Yeah,
and then it
yeah.
isn't.
No, it's tricky. I've never had to do it. But the smell as well, the weird thing I find about fake tan.
Oh, I think it smells quite nice, like a biscuit.
It smells like biscuits.
Mm, nice.
I think it's really odd.
Could be worse.
Fake tan goes on. The only reason I'd like to do... strictly, obviously, apart from the affair, would be to get the full, when they stand you in the booth and give you the full tan.
Yeah, I've had that spray tan.
Have you?
Yeah, I have. You have to wear like
you're
little
naked.
Paper knickers.
Oh my God.
But you're in a booth. Nobody sees you. It all just gets sprayed, you know, by a robot or whatever.
Right.
And then you come out looking really, really dark, and then it sort of develops.
By a robot, like an Elon Musk Tesla robot spraying you
Yeah,
down.
Just all sort of sprays.
Wow. Do you wear goggles when you do it? What does it get in your eyes?
I can't remember. So long since I've had one.
I sort of want to hate fake tan because it's so silly and superficial. But at the same time, it means people are less likely to go and burn themselves.
And it just does look good. It makes you look healthier.
It does. And it's also, it's that thing, isn't it? It's like when I got my teeth whitened last year. And only slightly, like by a fraction of a millisecond were they whitened. I know that's not the right thing. But the number of people who went, you look well.
Yeah.
And you're just like, yeah, because I did one little thing.
Mm.
And that's what happens when you get the fake tan.
It's really effective.
Okay, maybe I'll go and get myself a fake tan. Fine. All right, look, we're getting towards ad time now. So we'll take a brief pause and then We're going to come back, and we have much more to discuss. Not least, we need to talk about, Beth, one of your favourite topics, which is, of course, there's now, in when we do the Toasted thing, the spin-off show, there's usually 10 minutes of it dedicated to insects.
Yes, I told you. Pests is a huge thing on Amazon, and I have thoughts.
Pest chat shortly.
I bought some books I never read. I bought a stuffed toy without a head. And some junk I'm much too bashful to explain. It's just that Amazon's too easy. Check your history, you'll be queasy. But my mate bought a toaster, and I swear he shares your pain.
Hello, welcome back. It is My Mate Bought a Toaster, Toasted, with Tom Price and Beth Morrie, and our two dogs, Phoebe and Peggy,
who bringing scratching to you.
Peggy has contributed so far. So one of the things that Hayley Morris bought was the fruit fly trap. And as ever, all of these items, I will put a link in the episode where you can go and have a look at them. The fruit fly trap. What were your thoughts about fruit flies?
I have several very, very deep thoughts about this. Can good. I see the product that she bought? Because she recommended it. She said it was good.
Yes, I don't know if I've got the right one here, because it was called something like a gnat trap, I think it was called, wasn't it?
Now, what we need to do is make the distinction between fruit flies and gnat flies. Now, I think there's a difference.
Oh.
You've spelt gnat N-A-T, you dimbo.
How is it?
With a G at the front.
Oh, that's why I can.
Oh, dear. Oh, no. This is much worse than when I said...
Just so you know, Beth Murray once dumped label. a former boyfriend because he misspelt suave on a card to her, which was to my benefit because then it meant you were available for me to marry you. But now I've misspelt Nat, she's never going to let it go.
It's divorce.
Yeah.
So I think there's a difference between gnat flies and fruit flies. And fruit flies kind of... are like what grows out of your bananas. So in the height of summer, you have all these little tiny flies. I mean, they probably are the same, but I think they come from a different place.
Yeah.
They all fly around your compost bin and your bananas, things like that.
But they don't go elsewhere in the house. That's the thing.
Yeah, they just sort of stay there.
Because what I hate in summer is when you get the big, fat, lazy, loud fly that then sort of moves in. It's like a squatter for 3 days.
But that's like a blue bottle.
Yeah, I hate that.
Yeah.
Whereas the thing about the fruit flies is that they are focused on your bins and just leave them there.
Yeah. And usually what I think happens is when it gets colder again, they sort of die naturally. So don't, I mean, I am on an absolute killing blitz with them, but still, I know that they're going to kind of just disappear come October anyway.
You are sort of constantly, I've noticed this, I hope you take this the right way over the last 23 years, you are constantly at war.
Yes.
You're on a war footing, be it with cockroaches when we were in our last place, that was awful. And in this case, gnat flies.
Yeah. I don't know. I've got a real preoccupation with them. I feel violated by insects.
Sure.
So I'm constantly focused on one. And I have more recently been focused on gnat flies. Now, I think they're slightly different. They come from plants, usually in the soil. And I think the eggs grow in the soil. And recently I've repotted a plant and somehow got a gnat fly infestation in the plant.
Right.
So obviously I went straight to Amazon and I bought two things. I bought the yellow fly traps that you're looking at now.
Yeah, 30 packs.
Which are just sticky things that you stick in the soil and then the flies just fly into them and they're stuck to them.
But there's something, because you've got a similar sticky situation for clothes moths, which again occupy far too much airtime on this show.
Yeah.
But you've got these sort of these triangles that are super sticky, which our dog Phoebe managed to stick her tail into.
That was funny.
So we managed to catch a dog with one of them. But they're incredibly sticky. What I don't like about them is that you've then got your lovely flowers and you've got this big yellow thing, which is like now a gnat graveyard.
And it looks gross.
It looks gross. You're looking at a gnat atrocity.
They're quite effective in that they kill the ones that are already there.
Yeah.
But in addition, I bought like this powder, which reminds me a bit of matcha powder. Okay. There is a kind of beige colour and smells gross.
Right.
And you mix the powder with water and then you pour that solution onto the plant itself, and that's supposed to kill the eggs in the soil.
Can I call it? CBA. Can't be asked. By this stage, you're just not being
bothered. I can always be asked with insects, and I've been doing this for weeks.
Which insect? Well, it's going to be wasps, isn't it? Do wasps count as an insect? I guess they do. Which insect upsets you the most?
Well, I mean, I'm the most scared of wasps.
Yeah.
The most miserable I've been was the cockroaches.
Yeah, we had, in our last flat many, many years ago, we had a cockroach infestation. One of the, do you remember, someone came to poison them and a cockroach crawled out, poisoned from behind a floorboard and then went and hid in one of my shoes.
Oh, it's just so upsetting.
So bleak.
But with these things, like when you get the ant problem, you can buy those bait stations, and honestly, they're so good, it just clears it up in a couple of days.
Yes.
But with this gnat thing, it's supposed to work really well. Well, it's not for me.
Right, right.
So this is an ongoing battle, and I really feel for Hayley, because if she's got a proper infestation, then that is super annoying.
Right, okay, so the gnats next to the plants, I mean, it's surely the one option is just to bin off all the plants.
I know, I don't want to do that, because it's a really nice plant, and I'm very into plants.
Yeah, because also plants are very good to have. What's the plant that you're supposed to get that's very good for air quality in your house?
I don't know enough about plants
it's
to know
finger
that.
Plant. It's the tall, long. You know who told me this?
Who?
Lisa Tarbuck.
Oh, really?
Lisa Tarbuck told me this. I think they're called finger plants. Oh, I'm going to have to do a live Google now.
Finger plants?
Is that right?
Do you mean ficus?
Hang on. Yeah, there you go. Blue finger plants. I'm sure that's the thing. Listen, guys, as ever, I'll have got that wrong. Tom@toasterpod.com. There is meant to be a specific houseplant that is incredibly good for air quality in the house. I'm sure it's that one. All right, so matcha we've done, gnat flies we've done. One of the things as well, which she talked about at length, was wigs. She loves a wig. Now, obviously, she loves a wig because of what she's doing on the show. And it's worth sort of mentioning that again and again, I kept finding things that she'd bought which she used to, for example, play the role of a fart or a menstrual cup. So if you've not seen Hayley Morris's stuff on Instagram, that's very much... I think her latest sketch was her playing a clot, which I believe is some kind of situation. That's what she does. It's very female-focused as well, isn't it? It's all about sort of women's bits. You can tell I'm getting into uncomfortable territory here. But I'm dealing with it well, like a grown-up. But it's brilliant. She's hilarious. So, yeah, loads of costumes for that.
I could relate to this as well, because although I don't do sketches, I do dress up a lot just for fun and for events that are probably unnecessary to dress up for. And I do buy props, like similarly crazy props for whatever dressing up project I'm embarking on.
Yes.
So I loved all that. Absolute rubbish that she'd bought.
There's a couple of things she did. Often this happens on the show where I think girls can do that and boys don't do that as much. And I think that's a shame. And one of them was wigs.
Because I love a wig.
I need a wig. I mean, wouldn't it be amazing if it was acceptable for me to just stroll out one day?
Well, why?
Looking like
it
pink.
Is acceptable.
No, it isn't.
Decide it is.
If I went into work with my... And I'd probably go for Jason Donovan in the 80s, like with the long, beautiful curtains.
No, don't overdo it.
Well, if I just put a wig on, can you imagine?
So I've encountered this myself.
The mockery.
Because I am embarking on a kind of wig-wearing thing.
How many wigs do you own, Beth?
Oh, God. Not as many as Hayley, because she said she bought 11.
She bought 11. But, yeah.
Which I mean, what a legend. You know, bow to that behaviour.
There's a shop very near where we live called Wig World. Maybe they should sponsor this show. Because it comes up again and again.
I have between 5 and 10 wigs. And some of them are like crazy wigs for dressing up. But I have about 2 or 3 that are wigs that I like to wear in real life. And I'm trying to make this a thing to normalise it. Because the other day I was going to this party and I didn't have time to get changed.
Yes.
And like ready properly. It takes a long time to sort out your hair. After we record this, I'm going to dye my hair because of my root issues, because I'm grey.
You know what you should do?
What?
Wear a wig.
Exactly. That's the point.
Thank you. Yeah.
And so for this party, I was like, I don't really have time. I'm just going to wear my wig. And it's one of those ones where people say to me, oh my God, your hair looks amazing. And they don't quite know.
Like with the fake tan.
I can get away with it.
This is what we find on Amazon. There are these little nudge things you can do that you wouldn't, I don't think, bother to go to, say, a wig shop. Or you wouldn't necessarily bother to get this level of, like the things you can buy on Amazon that just give you a little kind of, oh, I can do this.
And I just look better and I have to do less to look better.
Yes.
So that's a win-win for me.
Yeah.
I just don't see why we can't normalise it and just go, yeah, I'm wearing a wig. It looks better.
Well, boys can't do that, I don't think. And I think that's a shame, and I think we should. The other thing as well, which we mentioned on the show, which I still giggle at, is the idea of me texting, let's say, Ed, Jack, Joe, hey guys, made a WhatsApp group because I'm thinking I might have a sleepover at mine. I'm tempted to do it for the purposes of the show to describe what would happen, but boys don't, certainly not middle-aged sad dads like me, don't have sleepovers. I think it would be really funny.
Do you remember that meme where guys were calling each other up to say, good night, I love you?
It's extremely funny.
It's really funny. And I feel like guy sleepovers would have the same reaction. Like, yeah. What the fuck?
I think we'd have to sit in companionable silence. I think we'd run out of conversation or just, I don't know, we'd have to put some sort of sport on the TV, I'd assume. Like, imagine as well if you said, we're coming for sleepover and we're only allowed to watch certain films. Do you know what I mean? It would just be...
It is weird, but I like the... I think it feels wholesome. Well, it feels wholesome on one level in the way that Hayley meant it. But the trouble is you say the phrase grown-up sleepover.
It's weird.
It's keys in a bowl.
That's true. Do you want to come for sleepover? Yeah, no, bring Anna with you. Yeah, yeah, please do.
Pampas grass outside.
Yeah, exactly. So it would be even weirder though, wouldn't it, to say no, don't bring anyone with you. I just thought you and I could have a sleepover just to hang out. There's nothing sinister. Anyway, if you've had a sleepover as an adult, especially if you're a man, tom@toasterpod.com. And then finally, the last thing I want to talk about from Hayley Morris's episode, which was a lot of fun. She bought an aircon unit simply because of her dog, which I thought was great because obviously we're dog idiots. And you know, so is she. She's got a whippet that does not have a long coat.
It's not going to get that hot, isn't it?
No, it's not going to get that hot. But again, that thing of using your dog as an excuse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's genius.
Well, I mean, and also to be fair, one of the things you can buy on Amazon is those cooling mats for dogs. Mm. I've never bought one, but I have several friends who've bought one. And they said they've bought it, very excited. I can solve my dog's problem. They put it down on the floor and the dog has run away from the cooling mat. The dog will go nowhere near the cooling mat.
Good. You cannot help a dog. But that is why we love dogs, because it is an ongoing project to try and help them. And yet they refuse the help.
Yes.
I would say most of dog ownership is taking the dog to water and allowing the dog to just stare blankly at you while it basically dies because it's so stupid. I mean, that is what we do. That's why we love them. And as I say this, I'm staring at two complete idiots lying on these beds. Anyway, look, we're done. That is another episode of Toasted. Thank you very much again to Ian for that that beautiful email that you sent. Thank you so much, Ian. Keep those coming in, tom@toasterpod.com. My guest next week is the fabulous Anya Magliano, who is extremely funny. She's on the latest series of Taskmaster. There will be an early available episode of Anya up on our Patreon, which is still an ongoing concern. Go to patreon.com/toasterpod, and for £3 a month you can get episodes early. There's videos up there as well, all sorts of stuff. So if you want to help the podcast, that would be much, much appreciated. That's patreon.com/toasterpod. And that's it for today. So what are the main takeaways? Buy a wig.
Yes, always buy a wig. Normalise wearing wigs.
Normalise wigs. Normalise adult sleepovers. Goodbye. It's my mate.